This is the Africa Debrief by Atlas News. Hello and welcome to the Africa Debrief by Atlas News, where we take an in-depth look at the region's top stories and analyze and explain them to you. Starting off, we'll delve into the recent developments surrounding Senegal's upcoming presidential election, a situation marked by controversy, court rulings, and ongoing tensions. After weeks of protests and a critical court decision, Senegal is preparing to hold its presidential election as soon as possible. This comes after the government's initial attempt to delay the vote by 10 months sparked widespread unrest. The government originally cited concerns about the eligibility of two key opposition figures, Ousmane Sonko and Karim Wade, as the reason for the postponement. Both candidates were disqualified from running, raising questions about the fairness and inclusivity of the election. Senegal's Constitutional Court, however, deemed the delay unconstitutional, paving the way for the election to proceed sooner. While acknowledging the impracticality of holding the vote on the originally planned date of February 25th, the court urged the government to organize it swiftly. Despite the change in timeline, the core issue of the disputed candidate list remains. The government hasn't clarified whether they'll use the existing list, which excludes Sonko and Wade, or create a new one. This ambiguity creates uncertainty and fuels concerns about potential manipulation. Many opposition groups accused President Macky Sall and his party of attempting to cling to power by delaying the election, fearing a potential defeat. While Sall isn't seeking a third term himself, his party's candidate, Prime Minister Amadou Ba, faces stiff competition. Sonko, seen as a significant threat to the ruling party, was disqualified due to a defamation conviction upheld by the Supreme Court. Karim Wade, son of a former president, was barred due to his dual citizenship. Following his disqualification, Sonko named Bassirou Diomaye Diakar Faye as his replacement. However, Bassirou's candidacy faces a significant hurdle. He's been in provisional detention since April 2023. Sonko has called for his release, citing the Constitution's guarantee of equal campaigning rights. The initial announcement of the delay triggered 2 weeks of nationwide protests. These demonstrations were met with a heavy-handed response from the police, including tear gas deployment and clashes, tragically resulting in the deaths of three protesters. Senegal's political landscape remains tense as the country prepares for a crucial election. The upcoming weeks will be crucial in determining the transparency and inclusivity of the process, while addressing the concerns surrounding the candidate list and detained candidates. We'll continue to monitor the situation and provide updates as they unfold. Next, Haiti's pursuit of a multinational intervention force to address its ongoing security crisis has taken another step forward, marked by recent meetings with Kenya and continued legal hurdles. In an attempt to bolster security and quell gang violence, the Haitian government has been actively seeking international assistance. This pursuit led to a request for a UN-backed intervention force in 2022, ultimately finding potential leadership from Kenya in July 2023. President Ruto of Kenya pledged to lead the force, consisting of 1,000 Kenyan police officers alongside contributions from other nations. The UN would provide funding and logistical support, with the U.S. already pledging significant financial backing. Despite initial approvals from the UN and the Kenyan parliament, the deployment has faced repeated challenges in Kenya's court system. Concerns surrounding the legality of deploying police outside the country, as well as a lack of public participation in the decision, led to three separate court rejections throughout 2023. The latest development involves high-level discussions between Haitian and Kenyan officials in the U.S. These meetings aim to establish a memorandum of understanding and address the legal requirements raised by the Kenyan courts, particularly the need for a reciprocal arrangement with Haiti. While these discussions offer a glimmer of hope, there's no guarantee of their success in satisfying the court. Haiti's dire situation, characterized by escalating gang violence and a surge in kidnappings, underscores the urgency of finding a solution. 2023 saw a staggering increase in violence, with murders doubling compared to the previous year. January 2024 alone witnessed a threefold rise in casualties compared to the same period in 2023. Gang control over swaths of the capital city further exacerbates the security concerns. Now, the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, faces a potential escalation in its ongoing conflict with the M23 rebel group, as the rebels announce their intention to liberate the strategic town of Saki. The M23 claims their move is intended to silence government and SADC forces' heavy weaponry, which they accuse of causing civilian casualties in M23-controlled areas. They urge Saki residents to remain calm and continue their daily lives. The fighting around Saki has already displaced thousands of civilians and severed the last major road leading to Goma, the regional capital with a population of 2 million. Goma itself remains vulnerable to attack, as the M23 is positioned only 25 kilometers away. Despite their proximity, the M23 denies plans to capture Goma, as they did in 2012 and nearly did again in 2022. Their stated goal is solely to silence the shelling they claim targets civilians. This escalation follows a broken ceasefire and renewed fighting that erupted in January 2024. The DRC and SADC launched an offensive aimed at defeating the M23, but faced setbacks as the rebels regained territory. The threatened capture of Saki marks a significant development in the conflict, which has already displaced millions. Additionally, concerns are heightened by reports of new weaponry, including a surface-to-air missile system allegedly possessed by the M23 and used against a UN drone. The international community, including the UN, US, and UK, accuses Rwanda of supporting the M23. Rwanda consistently denies these claims, accusing the DRC of deflecting blame for its own shortcomings. Allegations of Rwandan involvement range from material and financial support to even deploying troops alongside the M23. In our next story, Senegal finds itself embroiled in a tense political climate marked by widespread protests, a government-imposed internet shutdown, and international pressure surrounding a controversial election delay. The government's decision to postpone the presidential election by 10 months, from February 25th to December 15th, has sparked outrage and ignited protests across the nation. Citizens and opposition groups vehemently oppose the delay, citing concerns about its legitimacy and potential manipulation. The government claims the postponement is necessary to ensure a fair and inclusive election, while a parliamentary inquiry investigates the independence of two judges on the Constitutional Court. This court oversees the candidate list, which notably excluded two key opposition figures, Ousmane Sonko and Karim Wade. Sonko, considered a formidable challenger to the ruling party, was disqualified due to a defamation conviction. He named Bassirou Diomaye Diakar Faye as his successor, who also enjoys significant support despite being currently detained. Karim Wade, son of a former president, was barred because of dual citizenship. Many suspect the delay is a ploy by President Macky Sall and his party to cling to power, fearing defeat in the originally scheduled February election. Opposition groups have gained momentum, leading some to believe the government seeks to buy time and potentially manipulate the electoral process. Since the announcement of the delay, Senegal has witnessed widespread protests, tragically resulting in the deaths of three protesters during clashes with police. The government's heavy-handed response, including tear gas deployment, has further fueled public anger. The international community is urging Senegal to reconsider the delay and uphold the original election date. An ECOWAS delegation is currently in Senegal to mediate the situation, while France, Senegal's former colonial power, has condemned the violence and called for a swift and transparent election. Adding to the tense atmosphere, the government has restricted mobile internet access nationwide, citing the spread of hateful messages and misinformation that allegedly contributed to the unrest. This move has been widely criticized as an attempt to stifle dissent and impede free communication. Next, Fikile Mbalula, Secretary General of South Africa's ruling African National Congress, ANC, is set to attend a controversial forum in Moscow titled Forum of Supporters of the Struggles Against Modern Practices of Neo-Colonialism for the Freedom of Nations. The forum, scheduled for February 15th, 17th, aims to gather nations opposed to what Russia perceives as modern neo-colonialism practiced by Western powers. While the full list of attendees remains unclear, reports suggest potential participation from North Korea and the Central African Republic. An article by a Russian foreign ministry official published in January outlines Russia's perspective on neo-colonialism, blaming Western nations for perpetuating unequal development and manipulating global markets. The forum likely paves the way for establishing a permanent structure to combat this perceived neo-colonialism. Mbalula's attendance is likely to exacerbate tensions between the ANC and the United States, following South Africa's recent actions at the International Criminal Court against Israel, a key U.S. ally. Additionally, it may signal the ANC's alignment with the anti-Western bloc, potentially jeopardizing South Africa's trade benefits under the African Growth and Opportunity Act, AGOA, which grants duty-free access to the U.S. market for thousands of South African products. The specific agenda and outcomes of the forum remain unclear. The potential impact on South Africa's international relations, particularly with the U.S., is a cause for concern. The potential consequences for South Africa's trade, especially regarding AGOA eligibility, need careful consideration. Mbalula's visit to the forum signifies a complex diplomatic situation for South Africa. Balancing its stance against perceived neo-colonialism with maintaining crucial international relationships and trade benefits will be a delicate task for the ANC government. Now we turn to a recent turn of events in Liberia, which witnessed the appointment of its first female acting defense minister, Geraldine George, following a wave of protests by wives of servicemen and ex-servicemen. This episode sheds light on simmering discontent within the Liberian military and the challenges faced by the nation. The appointment of retired Major General Prince C. Johnson as defense minister in January 2018 sparked immediate outrage among the wives of servicemen. They staged large-scale protests across the country, demanding his removal, better pay, improved living conditions, and proper retirement plans for their husbands. These protests effectively brought parts of the nation to a standstill, highlighting the gravity of their grievances. Beyond the immediate demands, the protests brought to light deeper issues plaguing the Liberian military. Officers voiced concerns about alleged discriminatory promotion policies implemented by Johnson, further fueling the discontent. The wives also shed light on subpar living conditions and the lack of proper retirement plans for veterans, raising serious questions about the well-being of those serving the nation. Faced with mounting pressure and nationwide disruption, Johnson resigned from his position just 10 days after being sworn in. President Boakai, acknowledging the need to preserve peace and security, accepted his resignation and expressed gratitude for his service. Following Johnson's departure, Geraldine George, a retired brigadier general with a distinguished career and impressive qualifications, was appointed as the acting defense minister. However, the circumstances surrounding her appointment remain unclear. Whether she will hold the position permanently or serve as a temporary solution is yet to be determined. The situation in Liberia highlights the importance of addressing the concerns of military personnel and their families. The protests serve as a wake-up call for the government to prioritize the well-being of those who serve the nation and ensure fair treatment within the military ranks. As Liberia navigates this complex situation, the appointment of Geraldine George, though shrouded in uncertainty, presents an opportunity for positive change and a potential step towards addressing the grievances that sparked this national unrest. Finally, a recent attack in Nigeria's Zamfara state has left civilians and security forces reeling. Armed men laid siege to a police station in Kasuwa Daji town, killing two policemen and kidnapping 40 women and children. This episode underscores the ongoing struggle with banditry in the region and the complex challenges faced by authorities. The attack, which began early Tuesday morning, saw gunmen engage in a 30-minute siege of the police station. This resulted in the tragic loss of 2 police officers and the abduction of 40 civilians, most of whom were women and children. The motive for the abduction is presumed to be ransom, highlighting the growing threat posed by criminal activity in the region. Sadly, such kidnappings are not uncommon in Zamfara State. The region has witnessed a concerning rise in banditry, with kidnappings reaching a peak of 4,138 cases in 2019. While there has been a slight decrease in reported cases in recent years, with 645 abductions documented in 2022, the situation remains deeply concerning. Understanding the causes of this persistent violence is crucial. Studies suggest that competition for resources between farmers and herders plays a significant role in fueling banditry. This complex issue is further exacerbated by attempts to combat the bandits through government intervention and vigilante groups. These efforts, while aiming to address the problem, have reportedly led to a rise in retaliatory violence, creating a dangerous cycle of escalation. The recent attack serves as a stark reminder of the urgent need for effective solutions to address the multifaceted issue of banditry in Zamfara State. Finding sustainable solutions requires a nuanced approach that addresses the root causes of the conflict, fosters dialogue between communities, and implements strategies that prioritize the safety and well-being of all citizens. This will require collaboration between various stakeholders, including government agencies, local communities, and security forces, to chart a path towards lasting peace and stability in the region. This has been the Africa Debrief by Atlas News. Thank you for listening.